Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word. This is the week that is before Palm Sunday, and that's the week we're in right now that we're celebrating. Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. John 11, Sanhedrin plot to kill Jesus. John 12, Jesus returns to Bethany as anointed. John 12, crowds gather because of Lazarus. John 12, Mark 11, Luke 19. So the text I've chosen is Luke 19, verse 11 to 27. It fits right in there. And it's this incredible parable that that has really affected me. It's the only time you'll see this word. Let's go ahead and read it. Are you ready? Here we go. Luke chapter 19, stand with me if you're able to, and if you're not able to stand, be healed. And until that time, if you don't want to stand, that's fine. Stand up on the inside. Here we go. Luke 19, find verse 11, New King James Version. Are you ready? Now as they heard these things, he spoke another parable because he was near Jerusalem and because they thought the kingdom of God would appear immediately. What did they think? The kingdom of God would appear immediately. Verse 12. Therefore, as a result of them thinking that, he said, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and return. So he called 10 of his servants and delivered them 10 minas and said to them, do business till I come. Verse 14. But his citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. So go to verse 15. And so it was that when he returned, having received the kingdom, he then commanded these servants to whom he had given the money to be called to him that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. And he came to the first saying, Master, your mina has earned 10 minas. And he said to him, well done, good servant, because you were faithful in the very little, have authority over 10 cities. And to the second came, saying, Master, your mina has earned 5 minas. Likewise, he said to him, you also be over 5 cities. Then another came and said, Master, here's your mina. I have kept it put away in a handkerchief, for I feared you, because you are an austere man. You collect what you did not deposit and reap what you did not sow. And he said to him, out of your own mouth I will judge you, you wicked servant. You knew that I was an austere man, collecting what I did not deposit and reaping what I did not sow. Then why did you not put my money in the bank, and that at my coming I might collect with it with interest? Verse 24, and he said, those who stood by, take the mina from him and give it to him who has 10 minas. And they said to him, Master, he has 10 minas. For I say to you that everyone who has will be given. And from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. But bring here those enemies of mine who did not want me to reign over them, and I will slay them before me. Whoa. Let's go. What a text. Lord, move in great power. Come on, put your hand on your own heart and pray for yourself. Move in great power, God, in our lives tonight. We are mindful. We're not here for a simple lecture. We're not here for that. We're here to receive living understanding and impartation from the throne, the living word of God, that heaven and earth will pass away, but your word will remain, will endure forever. You stand over it, sending it forth. It does not return void. Have your will tonight. in the lives of your people, all those online in the Philippines and India, wherever people are watching now or in the days to come, on Spotify, on YouTube, on Facebook. Oh, in Kotzebue at Point Hope, all across Alaska, pour out your spirit in the Bristol Bay and beyond, even in America. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name, amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm going to occupy. Go ahead, say it. Say, I'm going to occupy. This is a powerful passage of scripture. You read it in a couple different versions, you'll see different translations of this one Greek word here that's used. And if I try to pronounce it, I won't do a very good job. The word used only once here in the New Testament is the word occupy. Everybody say occupy. Can you clean those for me, please? Yeah. Occupy, unusual word. Now, we read in the New King James, it says do business. You say, why was it said do business? And then another version say occupy. Because that's what it means. It means to do business or to occupy. To occupy or to do business. Jesus is giving a kingdom mandate. And in the kingdom mandate that he gives, he's bringing correction, he's bringing instruction, gives a mandate to be actively engaged in the purposes of the kingdom until he returns. That is what he's saying. He's saying, don't just sit there, do something. Now, there's a text that Dr. Morocco preached from regarding the talents. It was a very similar word tonight. God has instructed us, given us a kingdom mandate to occupy, to do business. I mean, you see, you mean like business? Well, yeah. It's the business of the Father, the business of the kingdom. It includes all kinds of business. It's to be engaged in his purposes until he returns. Luke 19, verse 13, so he called 10 of his servants and delivered them 10 minas and said, do business or occupy till I come. So let's look at the parable here. A nobleman is going on a journey to become a king. It's a parable. Parable. He spoke parables to hide truth from people who would just be casually observing. God's not obligated to talk to you tonight. You know that? Did you know that? So if you want to continue to text, you can. If you want to continue to, you know, be on Facebook and scroll on Instagram, feel free. He's not obligated to talk to you. He talks to those who are hungry and thirsty. He reveals things to people who are hungry and thirsty. Is anybody hungry and thirsty tonight? He gives this parable that the audience immediately understood. He said, why is that? Because right at that time, one of Herod's sons, Herod died. I'm so sorry, that's going to really be hard for my squirrel mind to handle. So if you would help me, please. Thank you so much. Sometimes I'm easily distracted. Sometimes I can focus. Let's all just lift our hands to heaven. I'm so sorry. It's me. It's not you. Mostly. Father, in Jesus' name, let the word go forth with power. Quicken my tired brain right now. Full of 1,000-year rule of reign of Christ, shifting gears, help me right now. Amen. So Herod's son couldn't just take the throne. He had to actually get permission to do it. And so he goes to talk to Rome to get permission to be the king. And there was a bunch of Jews there that didn't want him to rule. And they're like, so they picketed, for lack of a better word. They stood up and said, no, we don't want you. And yet, what ended up happening was he became, by Caesar Augustus, he ended up being a ruler like a king, but much less authority. And they didn't want him, but he came back really as a king anyway. And so Jesus is talking to people, and this real political event had just happened. And so he comes back, And he tells this story of this return, and it's a picture of Christ's return, and it's a picture of the kingdom of God. So through the parable, Jesus is correcting the crowd's assumption that the kingdom of God would appear immediately in physical form. Look at verse 11. Luke 19, verse 11. Now, as they heard these things, he spoke to one another a parable because he was near Jerusalem and because they thought that the kingdom of God would appear immediately. So he's telling them, hey, it's not going to appear immediately. He's correcting them and he's instructing them. This noble man in the parable gave 10 servants to each mina, about 3 months' wages. And there's those who did not want him to be king. They didn't. There's people who weren't happy about Jesus. People are still not happy about Jesus. I said people are still not happy about Jesus. Forever Jesus haters. I don't think they've ever really met him. And so he's speaking to that. When the king returned in this parable, the time of accountability would come. Luke 19, verse 15, and so it was when he returned, having received the kingdom, he then commanded these servants to whom the money had been given to be called to him, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. This parable gives us insight into the future. Lift your hands to Jesus, please, all across the place. Parables gives us insight into the future. Look at Matthew 24. Turn with me. Verse 30, then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven. And all the tribes on the earth will mourn. And they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven. He's coming back. I was so engrossed in the book of Revelation. It's just that incredible. I used to think of it like such a creepy book. So unusual. I avoided it for years because it's unusual. And then I just wasn't sure how to interpret it. Then it's spending time in Revelation 19, Revelation 20. There's coming a time when Jesus is going to rule the earth for 1,000 years. That's a great, great thing. And it's an actual event that's going to take place. And this refers to that. Gives us insight. Zechariah 14, verse 4 and 5. In that day, his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall be split into two from the east to the west, making a very large valley. Half of the mountain shall move towards the north, and half of it towards the south. This is a prophecy from Zechariah when he returns. Then you shall flee through my mountain valley, thus says the Lord God, will come and all the saints with you. You'll notice in the parable is true what's also going to take place. There's judgment. There's those who accepted the message and the challenge to occupy from the parable. And then there's those who don't. Everyone's going to have to give an account. Bump your neighbor and say, you're going to have to give an account. You're going to have to give an account. When I got a hold of this, it just did something to me because it makes every second of your life actually worth living. You're going to be judged. You said, I'm not going to be judged. I'm born again. Yeah, that's a different judgment than the people who are not born again, not saved, not redeemed, not washed, not cleansed. People that are not believers, they're also going to go through judgment, but so are you. Everybody, look at your neighbor and say, you going too. Now, it's different. It's not a judgment unto condemnation where you're going to end up in hell, but understand clearly, every single one of us will stand before the Lord to give an account for our lives and what we've done with our minas. What is a mina? We're going to get there. But those who rejected Jesus will experience eternal separation. Damnation is the actual way to look at that. It's not as some cults teach where it's just death and you don't exist anymore. No, you exist. You exist in a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth and eternal torment. And it's not even from God. It was created for the enemy. But that the one thing that Jesus can't forgive you of, there's only one thing. You want to know what it is? Not receiving him as your Lord and Savior is the only thing he can't forgive you of. So I don't know what you might have done, but don't do that. Blasphemy the Holy Spirit, rejecting God. So his servants, those who reject Jesus, will experience eternal separation. Bring those enemies of mine, is verse 27, who will not want me to reign over them, and I will slay them before me. Look at number two, his servants will give an account for what they did with what he was entrusted to them. What are you saying? I'm saying we're all given the same spiritual capital. Capital. We've all been given minas spiritually. Everyone. What have we've been given? We've been given his word. We've given his spirit. We've given the gospel. It's the mina that produces. I was talking to some young preachers and encouraging them, and Pastor Karen and I were talking, dialoguing about Sunday. Sunday was a powerful service. And I reflected on what was so powerful about it. It was worship and people were hungry. I saw people literally on the edge of their seats leaning in. And in the second service as well as in the first, there was just moments of like crackling power just going all over the whole congregation. And I could feel God's fire just being poured out. I thought, my gosh, this is awesome. The word has power. And when the word's preached, it releases signs and wonders and miracles. The word, it's the word. The kingdom of God has power. There's power in the kingdom. It's not you being clever and cute with your nice glasses. It's not that. It's not your updo, your downdo. It doesn't have much to do with you, except for you show up and obey and do your very best. We all feel weak at times, but it's the gospel. It's God's power working through us. We're all crackpots. We have this treasure in earthen vessels so that when God shows up and heals people, who gets all the glory? God does. And God wants to use you. God wants to use you to speak his word, use you to pray, use you in the spirit. And there's power released. The mina had this, it produces increase, and Jesus rewards the servants for putting what he had given them to work. He rewards their diligence. And somebody said, well, is there a reward in the end? Yeah, there's the reward is ruling with Christ, but it's actually so much more than that. Pastor Karen had a great accomplishment today. She was been in a real grind, fulfilling a task that the Lord had given her, and she finished today. And as she finished, she just sort of walked around the house. Hallelujah. Like, praise God. Then she walked a little bit further. She's like, thank you, Jesus. I think she skipped for a second. And she just had this big smile. She's been just diligently for a week just pushing. She accomplished it. There's an amazing joy when you serve God, when you do what he's called you to do. And though it might be challenging and difficult at times, when you've come through the other side, it's a reward that no money can buy. Hearing, well done, thou good and faithful servant, lying on your bed at night, having peace, knowing that you didn't violate your conscience, but you said the truth and you spoke it out and you took a stand and you did what was right. It just does something to you. It releases great joy. There's joy. I'm going to tell you, I love having joy and peace, patience. I have patience. I have patience. Does anybody else have patience? So he said, you don't ever pray for patience because then you're going to have God give you all kinds of tests. No, yeah, I have them. I don't pray for patience because I possess them. What are you talking about? The fruit of the Spirit, baby. Love, joy, peace, patience. Kindness, gentleness, self-control, you have to appropriate that, claim it, walk in it. God's speaking to us very simply tonight. What is it that the Lord has given every believer? Because that's really the parable. He gave the ones that get the minus are believers. Well, except the one who didn't believe and he got judged. But what is it the Lord has given us? He's given us the power of the gospel. The gospel. Gospel means good news. The power of the gospel. Let me read this to you in Romans 1 and 16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation. For the Jew, for everyone who believes, first for the Jew and also for the Greek. The gospel, when Jesus Christ is preached, it releases power. Demon power is bound and God's power is released. When you say simply, Jesus died on a cross, rose again from the grave, believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, you shall be saved. It releases power. And there's any number of combinations that you can release that. And I was in India. I walked into my hotel room. And we got there late. My eyes were nearly falling out of my head. I don't know what time. My body was in Alaska. My brain was in, I don't know, some part of the United States. And I don't know. I was so scrambled on where I was. I knew I was in India, but super ultra jet lag. And we get in, get to the hotel, and it looks like, you know, we're going to Slumdog Millionaire's house. And so, but that's not what happened. This gate opens up and we roll into this nice 4-star hotel. And I'm with Pastor Michael, who says, we were gonna do a 2-star hotel, but we figured you wouldn't wanna do that. I said, good call. Good call. He's got a special reward from God somewhere. Plus it was like $60 a night at the 4-star hotel or whatever it was. Very inexpensive. And as I went in, I went into my room. I'm thinking, I'm in India. I open my room, and right out of my mouth goes, I declare that Jesus is crucified and risen again from the grave. I sanctify this room. I call it holy. I call the bed holy. The whole thing's holy. I plead the blood over this place, over the bathroom. Any sin or defilement ever happened here, leave in the name of Jesus. I was like, down. Lights out. The declaration of the gospel has great power. Listen, you don't have to feel it. It's biblically true. And if you'll just declare it, you will see things sanctified. You'll see, some of you need to do that in your home. Just bust in the house and just come home tonight and go, hey, Jesus Christ is dead and risen from the grave. I sanctify my house. It's the gospel has power. It has power. We have faith. Romans 12, verse 3. God has dealt each one a measure of faith. Literally, every single person has a measure of faith. That faith can grow. There's a gift of faith that doesn't need to grow. It's God's faith released to you. Gift, perfect gift. But then there's faith that comes by hearing, and hearing by the... Sorry, can't hear you. Very good. So the more you read the word, guess what happens to your faith? It grows. Your faith should be growing. Get in the word every day. Tiff Shuttlesworth has a little system that I don't follow, but you can. I have my own system. His system was always put your Bible on your pillow so that if you get busy throughout the day and you come home, you go to bed and you see the Bible and you hadn't gone in it, then you get in it. Get whatever system you want. Just get it off the toilet tank, pull it off the shelf, and start reading it. Read the Bible, read the word. I think Pastor Karen was telling me when she first started reading the word, she just started in Genesis. By the time she got to Leviticus, she was like, I think I want to do some other religion. Which she did, but later she got born again. That's hysterical.
It is.
It's actually exactly what happened. You get to Leviticus, you're like, my gosh, that's a lot of slaughtering and all kinds of rules. Peace out. It's too much for me. Gotta get to the new. Just go to the New Testament. Come on, somebody say, go to the new. Your faith will grow. Get in the word. Read the word. Memorize the word. And your faith will grow. Number 3 is his word. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete. Okay, so then the man of God is made complete, thoroughly equipped by what? By scripture. I can always tell when somebody's in the word, not that I'm like Mr. Word Measurer everywhere I go, but God stands over his word to see it performed. And when you pray and you pray the word, that is definitely a different level of power and authority when you pray the word. And so I can always tell when people are in the word, when they pray, if you don't ever hear the word, then you know they're not in the word. I got like one amen from my scholarly friend on the front row. Can I get an amen? Pastor Karen is started that Thursday morning. Thank you. What's it called? It's called a Bible study. It's a Thursday morning Bible study for women. And it's line upon line, precept upon precept, teaching people how to study the word. And it's a mid-level course, so there's a level up from that and a level down from that. That has been so powerful. How many of you ladies are in that? Okay, that's been powerful. It teaches people how to study the word. Do you know most people are biblically illiterate and they have no idea how to rightly divide the word? They have no idea what the word means. And that's why there'll be people who'll be like, I don't believe that man wrote that book. Well, and then you're proving you're an ignoramus. What's your name? Ignoramus? Hi, my name's Pastor Daniel. You don't have any idea of what you're talking about. I wouldn't do that, but that is an admission of their own lack of study. People just parrot stuff. Man wrote that book. They don't know how to study. They don't know. You need to learn all of those things. It's important. Don't just read it like it's a cute little storybook. You'll be equipped. The word of God, all scripture is given by inspiration from God. Inspiration is God breathed and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, for correction. You know, you should correct when you're correcting your kids. Don't just say it because I said so. To give them the scripture on why you're making that rule. Don't just say, oh, obey because I'm dad. That's why. Yeah, great. There can be those moments, but I mean, teach them. Put in them what we call a moral warehouse. If you don't put a moral warehouse in them, then after they leave your house, they will explode in shards everywhere. But when the word of God is in them, that's why you raise a child up when he's young, when he's old, he'll not depart from it. So the word of God gets into kids. Why do you have the rule? You should have rules that are biblical rules. Hello. And honor. And on and on and on and on and on. Powerful. Prayer. Look at four. Prayer. Turn to James chapter 5, verse 13. Verse 13, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Verse 14, is anyone sick among you? Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church. You know, it's hard to call for an elder for the church if you don't have one. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will heal him and raise him up. If he's committed sins, he'll be forgiven. Confess your trespasses one to another. Pray for one another, you may be healed. Now listen, look at 16b. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Look what he says now. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. He prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. He's saying, whatever Elijah did, he was just like you and me. In actual fact, Elijah, if I could go ahead and say it, had a covenant that was far less than what you and I have. We have the blood of Jesus, not a goat, not a ram. We don't have a day of atonement that partially takes care of things. We have the Redeemer, the Lamb of God, who's slain before the beginnings of the foundations of the world. His blood covers you. He gives you his righteousness so you could boldly come before the throne and pray the perfect will of God and see releases to prayer. And I've seen so many people not walk in that. I've been around people even recently. Well, God, if it's your will that you heal her, you know, if you want to kill her, I understand. No, I've heard, I exaggerated because some of you weren't paying attention. I've heard people pleading, we just got to beg now. Karen's going to live till she's like 150. Amen. You know what I'm, anybody know what I'm talking about? Oh, Lord, please. Oh, how about this one? Lord, give me their sickness so they could be free. That's like you're raising Catholicism or something, and something went whack right there. That's a biblically inaccurate. You don't have to take someone's sickness. You know why? I say, why? Why? Because Jesus took their sickness. That's why. And you appropriate that, and you stand on it, you decree it. I've seen so many people. If you could learn to pray fervently, if you could learn to walk in a bold decree from the word. What does God's word say? Presumption presumes that it said that God said it. But faith is based on what he said. And when you know what he said regarding healing, regarding provision, regarding breakthrough, regarding your emotions, regarding your mind, then you can pray that thing, you pray that promise, and it will release the rain of heaven upon you. But if you don't learn to pray like that and you're begging, I mean, it's just like the Lord's like, oh, Father, what are we going to do with these people? I think he's grateful that, glad that we're learning to pray. But by God, learn to pray powerfully. Don't pray weak sauce, Taco Bell hot sauce prayers. Don't pray like that. Oh, no, once you had a Carolina Reaper, that Taco Bell doesn't have nothing on that. Pray fervent prayer. I was in a gathering just recently, and I was handed the mic to pray. Well, I think I might have been a little bit too loud. I don't know. They've like had me pray, and I just started praying. And I felt the atmosphere shift. I felt things shift. I'm like, oh, tone it down. I brought my volume down a little bit, and we prayed. Somebody said to me, what was that? No, somebody said that to me. Please don't think it's about me. It's not about me. It's people who pray with bold authority in the name of Jesus, decreeing his word. Fervent prayer, not weak sauce, lame, apologetic, don't have any idea what you're praying for prayer. And somebody said, what happened? I'm like, I don't know, bro. Like, something happened when you prayed. I'm like, well, praise the Lord. Where are we? Lift your hands to heaven. Say, oh, I've got a better covenant than Elijah. Say that. I got a better covenant than Elijah. Come on, say it. I've got a better covenant than Elijah. That's right. So if Elijah, with a nature like the same nature as ours, prayed and the heavens were shut up, then I can stop rain. I can call for rain by the word of the Lord. That's the key. Some of you heard the story, rain cloud moving towards the largest continual pour, I'm told, in the history of the valley and concrete pours you're standing on it. Continuous pour. Not the largest slab, but at the largest continuous pour. We poured morning, poured all, like most of the day, truck after truck after truck after truck. When they're done, they're on there skidding around and on all this cute equipment and everything. Want to see that again? And this rain cloud, Johnny Rain Cloud, comes out of the north, from the glacier. And it keeps coming, and you can see rain just coming over the butte. I mean, you know what I'm talking about? You can just see it. Here it comes. And the concrete guy says, if that comes here, we've lost the slab. We've lost it. And before I really wish it was me, but it wasn't. I was just a little slow. Wally stands up and says, oh, no, nope, No. I command you in the name of Jesus. That thing kept coming. We all started agreeing a little bit. And by the time it came right to the property, who, raise your hand if you were here. Some of you saw it. It just split. Not one drop. Not one. Not one drop. It rained on Walmart. Hallelujah. It rained all over on the other side of it. Not one drop. As God is my witness, there was a bunch of staff standing there. Not one drop hit the slab. Why is that? Because you have power in prayer. Power of the Holy Spirit. And those, of course, go together. Acts 1 and verse 8, but you will receive, sorry, can't hear you. You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. Witnesses to me in Jerusalem and Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. Power, power to witness, power to resist the devil. And you'll notice in this parable, as we apply it to our life, the dynamic of increase. Everyone grew their mind except the guy who had a misconception about God, which is similar to the talents, the one who had a distorted view. I'll talk about that in a moment. But let me ask you, is the dynamic of increase, I'm going to get in your business for a second, is the dynamic of increase happening in your life? Are you increasing in knowledge? Are you increasing in favor? Are you increasing in the anointing? Are you increasing? Are you increasing? I mean, in the kingdom. We're supposed to decrease, yes, that's our flesh, our fallenness, but we're supposed to increase in becoming more and more like him, him shining through you. A dynamic of increase is you are growing, you're becoming more Christ-like. You're getting wiser. Come on, lift your hands and say, God, I want to increase. Yeah, I want to increase. It is a command to grow. You know, things that don't grow are ill. Churches got to grow. And if you see some of the stuff they do in Nigeria, this one pastor, the church wasn't growing like they wanted it to. It was only 5,000 people. And they weren't growing really that much. So the bishop came. This is God is my witness what happened. They bring the pastor up, the bishop's there. It's the Dr. Morocco of that particular church, we'll just say it that way. And you bring the pastor up, they put his arm around and said, do you love your pastor? They said, yes, oh, I love our pastor. He said, great, if you don't grow, he's being removed. No, I'm not even kidding. If you don't grow, you don't reach, if this church doesn't grow, there's something wrong with his leadership, he will be removed. You'll get a new pastor. Let me pray for you all to grow. Father, in Jesus' name, he went to 6,000. Yeah. You're like, oh, that's not biblical. Well, I don't know. You know, the largest church in the world is now in Nigeria, and they're reaching people. They're very strong in their leadership, and they have a theology behind it that the fig tree is supposed to produce figs. And if it ain't growing, dig around it and then whack the bugger down. Chomp it down. Some of you need to chomp some stuff down. You're connected with Brother Idiot. Pastor Karen, that wasn't very nice. You fed me that line. Lord. Is increase at work in you? Keep your perspective from, listen to this one, and I'm landing the plane. Keep your perspective of God correct. Your life depends on it. Oh my. Can you give me some keys, brother? Your life depends on you having a biblical perspective of who God is. You see, if you have a perspective that is not biblical, you will be distorted. This guy had a distorted view. Doctor talks about that in that message. And increase, seek to double. He had a distortion. I knew that you were shrewd. I knew that you were angry. I knew that you were harsh. I knew that you took back what you didn't sow. All this picture about the king that was not true. And because he had a distorted view of God, he lived in such a way that was in fear and protective and odd. And he ended up forfeiting all that God had for him. He could have been over some cities too. The one guy's over 10 cities, the other guy's over 5, and this guy that's got a distorted picture. See, if you think Jesus came and sickness is from God, You're distorted. If you think he put depression on you to teach you humility, that's distorted. If you have a view about God that's incorrect, it'll destroy your life. The cults are like that. They're twisted. And the enemy's masterful at twisting scripture. That's why we need each other. We need the word. We need to rightly divide the word. We need to know the truth. We need to know who is this? Who is Jesus, really? Who is he? Get to know him. How? Read the word. Hang out with people that have been walking through him, with him for years. Connect with people. How do you do that? In life groups and teams. You plug into the life of the church. Years ago, I heard the Lord say to me, son, you cannot have a thought about yourself in your head that I don't have towards you. And I thought, what? You cannot have a thought in your head that I don't have towards you. He's putting his finger on things in my life that my identity was connected to that were incorrect. I had shame, I had guilt, I had fear, I had all kinds of strongholds, set ways of thinking. Oh, I love the Lord, but there was a brokenness in me, just like is in perhaps some of you. He said, are you still broken? I am not. Is there anything broken? Not that I'm aware of, but I'm walking with the Lord every day, and you can show me, God, anything you want, because I'll just repent and change and renew my mind. That's how you do it. Been doing that a long time, not as long as some of you, maybe longer than others. You keep going after God. You keep confronting your attitudes. You keep confronting the things on the inside of you that are broken. You won't ever hear me say I'm stupid. You won't hear that ever come out of my mouth. I mean, if you hang out with me, I'm the same in the pulpit, out of the pulpit. Isn't that right, dear?
Yes.
Yes. You won't ever hear me talk. You won't ever hear me say word curses over me. Ever. I'm never saying over myself. I used to say, gosh, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? And then I'd have people shame me. I had major reading challenges. I mean, like, major reading challenges. Dyslexia, dysgraphia, reversing things. Just, it was tough. Got left back in second grade. It was hard. You understand that, right? You have a burden for that. I got a burden for our school. It's one of the reasons. I suffered a little bit. Now I remember saying, you're so dumb, you can't spell that. I mean, I have an unusual brain. I still can't spell Saturday unless I sing the song from the Bay City Rollers. Saturday. Oh, come on, did I date myself that bad? What is wrong with you people? It's night. Saturday. Very good. All right, yeah, okay. I know it's a secular song, but it helped me spell Saturday. It's a Saturday night. Saturday night. Karen all in her miniskirt dancing around. So I had people tell me I was stupid, and I came into agreement with that. Even though I knew somewhere I wasn't, I had all this evidence of difficulty. And so when the Lord said to me, you can't afford to have a thought inside your head that I don't have towards you, and he doesn't have a thought he doesn't have a thought towards me that says I'm dumb. You won't find that. That ain't in there. What is in there? Oh, knit together in my mother's womb, praise the Lord. Seated in heavenly places with Christ. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. In fact, I have the mind of Christ. He lives in me. He abides in me. He walks with me. I have power. Oh, Elijah was a man with a nature just like mine. When I pray, things happen. I just hammered that thing and changed it. I'll never forget. It's actually when I first came to Alaska. I couldn't spell something, and I asked. I still ask how to spell stuff. Yeah, it's fun. That's why I hire secretaries. Somebody said, you can't spell that? I said, no. And that's why I hired you. I don't know how we got on all of that. Look, keep a perspective about. Keep a perspective about God that's biblical. Well, how do you know when you're off? Well, you'll have things in your life that'll manifest that. And then if you walk with people that know the Lord and you develop relationships, it'll crop up and then you correct that. You course correct. You change the way you think. You renew your mind. God will reward us for our labor, and what we do matters eternally. I'm almost complete here. You see, salvation is not of works. So you can't get saved by earning anything. That's a gift. However, come on, bump your neighbor and say, however, you're rewarded by what you do. You're saved by grace. You're rewarded by what you do with it. My God, that's so good. I'm going over here. I'm going to say it again. You're saved because of what Jesus has done. You've received him. You've been born again, right? That saves you. There's nothing you could do to earn that. You just have to believe, and that is even a gift from God. Then what you do with that, you're judged. It's really judgment. It's like anybody who see the Olympics, they get up on the podium. The judgment is a picture of rewards. It's not a picture of you going off to hell, because you're not if you're born again. But you can turn. It's Arminianism and Calvinism, and Pastor Duane will have a class later to help all of you for that. Come on, lift your hands to Jesus. A kingdom principle is revealed here. And I'll close with this. Turn with me. Last scripture. Occupy. Luke 19, verse 26. For I say to you that everyone who has will be given. And from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. God wants us to increase. God wants us to occupy till he comes. And we're in this tension between the first coming of Christ and his soon return. This tension right here, this period of time that you're living in. And you'll be accountable for how you use what he's given you. If you have a song, man, it's time to sing it. Man, if you got a gift, it's time to use it. It's time to step up and serve God with all our heart, with all our mind and soul and strength. There's great awakening being released upon the United States of America. I'm telling you, there's an awakening coming to our country. Things have just been ripped up, and I mean, we have broken through. But if we don't step up and use the minus, right, the word of God, the spirit of God and prayer, we don't step up and increase in the kingdom of God, then the enemy will set us delusion. And we could miss this small. I don't want to miss anything God has. I don't want to miss anything he has. We have this brief moment. Occupy. Do business. What business? The business of the Father. It's this trading. It's exchanging shame for joy. It's yes, it's business also for the sake of the kingdom of God. Occupy. Take over. Come on, did you get something today? We're going to multiply. We're going to increase. Now, I felt led to do this. If you're a business owner, stand up on your feet if you're comfortable doing that. Every business owner standing on your feet right now, I pray over you and I pray over your business that it will double. I pray a doubling on every single business, every single one that's faithful, every single one that's yielded to you, obeying you, walking in agreement with you. There is a doubling coming to businesses of this house. There's a doubling, there's an increase coming, says the Lord. I'm going to increase you. Look to see how you can expand to the right and the left. Look to see how you can move forward. Don't look at the wind. Don't consider the waves. Cast your bread upon the waters, and after many days, it'll come back to you. There is supernatural, divine favor. favor and blessing coming upon the business of this house. Come on now, if you need favor in your job, I pray favor in the job. I pray that people that don't have jobs, you'd release them now. Favor in the church will double. Say that, the church will double in size. Not this, just this one. I've prophesied over the valley, and I say it again, and I know some of my friends are on. Your church will double in size. Start doing altar calls. Give opportunities for people to get saved. If your board doesn't like it, you might need a new one. I want to say some edgy stuff right now. Lift your hands to heaven. Pastor Karen's gone, so I could probably go for it. Praise God. Come on, we want to be gracious. But it's time to throw aside the rags of religion. It's time to throw aside things of time and tradition. It's time to preach the unadulterated gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and give people opportunity to get saved, to get healed, and get delivered. It's time to use that which He has given us to pray in the Spirit, to take the land, to take the land. Oh, crooked places be made straight. Every mountain be brought low. Crooked places be straight. The King is in the land. The King is in the land. Through your people, through your bride, stir us to holy passion and action. We would not be lethargic. We would not be asleep in the harvest. I pray a stirring of your people right now. A stirring of people to reach the lost, their neighbors, they're hurting, broken. You've given us the answers. I pray for those who've been distorted or perplexed because they don't understand who you really are. I pray a breaking off of distortion right now in Jesus' name. I pray release of your power upon the weak. Let them say they're strong. Let the poor say I am rich. Elevate your people to high places. Fill them full of a holy boldness. They would not be like a reed blown around by the wind. Release like an unction of John the Baptist. Didn't give a flip what he was wearing. Locust legs sticking out of his mouth and a loincloth. Didn't go to the city. Went where you wanted them to go. And yet people went. And church growth principles, he didn't follow any of them. He was the friend of the bride, bridegroom. Oh my. Oh my. The friend of the bridegroom. That's what I am. That's what I'm supposed to be. That's what you're supposed to be. What do you mean by that? What do you mean by that? Pastor Capo, Timothy, come stand here, please. Just right here. Face the people. Okay. If you're getting married, and I'm bringing your wife up, your soon-to-be wife, I'm not flirting with her. I'm not telling her, you know. Are you sure? Because I'm not working an angle to try to get her to have affection for me. Why not? That's called perversion. And pastors do it all the time. My job is to bring the bride to Christ. That's my job. It's not my job to get you to fall in love with my messages or anything I'm doing. It's my job to equip you and get you so on fire for God that you fall in love with him, that you marry him. All I am is an officiant. That's what I am. I'm a friend of the bridegroom, and there's pastors that need to step off of trying to preach some cute message and get people attached to you and get them attached to God. Get them on fire for God. Don't worry if they leave your church. God will send you 10 more if you're doing it right. And if you feel led to leave here at any time, I bless you in the name of the Lord. I bless you. Belong to God. You belong to God. You belong to God. Do I want you to go? Of course not. I want you to go where God wants you to go. Everybody up on your feet all across this place. That shift has got to take place in pastors across America. I don't care if you like the post. I care if you fall in love with God. Fall in love with God. Marry him. Serve him. All men will fall short, but God will never will. We're supposed to be a friend of the bridegroom. Lift your hands. I'm done. Father, thank you. It's creepy when you think about it like that, isn't it? There needs to come holiness back in pulpits. There needs to come a holiness back in the church. And people need to preach the word and tell people you're going to be judged by what you do with what you're doing. You need to get off your duff and get serving. Gosh, that's intense. It's really going to be intense when you're dead. Be glad that you received the encouragement. And there's a joy in doing it. Enter in now to the joy of the Lord. To hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I want to hear that. Oh, I want to hear that. But not yet. I'm not, I just got started. Anybody feel like they just got started? I feel like I graduated high school, maybe. Maybe I'm still in elementary school. I'm not sure. I want to do something for God. I want you to commit right now to do something with the time that he's given you. You commit to him and he'll lead you. He'll guide you. Come on, you talk to him right out loud. Come on, just talk to him. Service is just about concluded. Hey! He came to rescue us so that we could occupy, and he's coming back. He's coming back. He's coming back for his bride. He's coming back. Lord, leave nothing undone in our lives. Leave nothing undone in this region, in the state of Alaska and the United States of America. Leave nothing undone as far as it depends on us, oh God. May we labor with the power and fire and passion that works so mightily on the inside of us. May we move forward to see your harvest, to see your plan, to see your word, see prayer, the Spirit of God of the gospel going forth. Let us not come up short. Let us not have deception. Break off deception. Release your power. Release your peace based upon your word. Did you get something? I did. Praise God. Would you put your hands together for God all across this place? Every head bowed, every eye closed. We want to give you an opportunity to give your heart to Jesus. You might be here for the first time. Maybe you've never heard a message like I just shared. Maybe you've never been to this church before. Maybe you're online. And if you've never given your heart to Jesus, do it tonight. Don't leave this place in a condition of not being certain of your eternal salvation. You must be born again. You must be born again. If you're not born again, then you remain in your sins. It does not matter how often you have gone to church. It does not matter how often you read the Bible. It doesn't matter whether you tithe or whether you give or you surrender your body to the flames, it'll all be utterly scorned if you do not receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. That is the number one commandment. You must be born again. Want to give your heart to Jesus for the first time? You want to make a recommitment to him all across this place, those online. You say, that's me. On the count of three, slip your hand up. You're not right with God. You want to give your heart to Jesus first time. Number two, you want to recommit your life to him. On the count of three, slip your hand up. One, two, 3. Do it right now, all across this place. God bless you, God bless you. I see that hand. I see that hand in the back. I see that hand. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. In the middle section, if that's you, lift your hand to heaven right now. God bless you. Over on this left side, thank you, ma'am. I see that hand. Over on this left side, thank you. God bless you. God, lift your hand high. You're serious about it. You want to give your heart to Jesus for the first time. God bless you. God bless you. Okay, here's what we're going to do. If you raised your hand or you didn't, I'm going to invite you to meet me right here. There's a whole bunch of other people and some leaders coming with you. You will not be by yourself. It's going to take some courage, but you can do it. Come on, you can do it. We have a theory that if you can't acknowledge Jesus in front of a bunch of people that love him, it'll be very hard to do that out there. And Jesus said, if you acknowledge me before my Father in heaven, I will acknowledge you. Come on, come right now. Wonderful. Come right now. Come on. Come on, come. Put your very best hand clap together. It's the greatest miracle that could ever happen. Front and center. Come on, come. As close to my hand as you can. Come. Come on, come. There's others. Come on, don't stop clapping. Don't stop clapping. Don't stop. Don't stop. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Those online, God bless you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Don't stop. Don't stop clapping. Encourage people right now. Come on, come. There's room for you. There's room for you at the cross. There's room for you. No matter what you've done, he'll wash and cleanse you and forgive you. Oh, thank you. Pray with us right out loud. Say, dear Heavenly Father. Come on, right out loud. He said, do you have to do that out loud? Yes, apparently. Romans says it. You believe in your heart, you confess it to your mouth unto salvation. You believe, you've come up here. Pray now. And those that were not able to make it, you pray right where you're at. Say, dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your son Jesus to die in my place. I believe he rose again from the grave for me. And I ask you tonight to forgive me for all of my sin. Wash and cleanse me and make me new. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for hearing my prayer. Amen. Let me pray for you. Would you surrender right now to God? Lift your hands all across the place now. In the name of Jesus, fill these with your Holy Spirit. Break every bondage, every chain, every curse, and baptize them in the Holy Ghost and power. Use them for the purpose for which they were created. Supernaturally give them a hunger for the word. May they find relationship. May they find a home here if they don't have a home church. May they find that here and establish and grow in wisdom and stature, in favor with God and man. And then when it's all said and done, may they be warmly welcomed into your kingdom because of how they've lived, rewarded. Use them powerfully, oh God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com and may God's face shine upon you.